We're ready to have a report from the PMB. Who's giving it? Next time, you guys should get together ahead of time and present a written report. Okay. Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
I've got notes, so I'll turn it into a written report, although it's not coming that way. There's a lot of stuff going on, so I'll try to hit on a couple of points, and then those that people want more clarification on, they can just ask. So going around the network, the Washington station, WPFW, will be moving. They will be moving in calendar year 2012. This is a big deal. They currently share space with the Washington City Paper, which is the alternative weekly. That building is being demolished. It's not an optional move. They got to go. They have identified an alternative space that they think will work. What, you know, has some relevance to us here is the anticipated moving costs, optimistically, are about $750,000. That said, this is a station with a budget one-third the size of ours. They have a massive capital campaign to embark upon. So when we're talking about Pacifica resources for development, it's important to understand the other challenges that the other signal areas are undergoing. And, you know, the full plethora of development challenges that the Pacifica Foundation is going to have to face. This is a big one. WBAI in New York currently has their transmitter up on the Empire State Building. The history of that is that after the events of September 11, 2001, there were considerably less tall buildings in Manhattan than there used to be. And accordingly, there was a tremendous rush to from all of the broadcast outlets in Midtown Manhattan, and there are many, to acquire antenna space on the Empire State Building, which put the Empire State Building in a good position from a capitalist point of view. And that has taken its toll on WBAI. What is starting to happen is that they have recently built some new skyscrapers in the Times Square area of New York, as well as having a new Trade Center building coming on board fairly soon. So it's good news to report that there are suddenly going to be many more antenna locations in Manhattan than there used to be. And this may change the, what shall we say, the landscape and the conditions for WBAI and the location of its transmitter. That said, every other broadcast outlet in Manhattan has exactly the same idea. So we will be looking for some expert help in accomplishing the best outcome for BAI. KPFK's new general manager, Duncan somebody, sorry, from New Zealand. Yes, started. So we now have, yeah, lots of GMs from the other part of the universe. It's exciting that he's beginning, and I believe he started Monday. Okay, fund drive totals in the gross throughout the network. KPFK in Los Angeles came in with $1,050,000. They had a very successful fund drive. The second largest was WBAI in New York. They came in with $855,000. KPFA was third, $743,000. And I'm using grosses. I understand your point regarding that the news income goes 50% to KPFK. WPFW came in at $347,000. And KPFT in Houston came in at $245,000. Three of the stations met or surpassed their goals, which is Los Angeles, New York, and Washington. New York and Washington doing that is an exciting and a very positive development. KPF Houston came in very slightly under their goal, like, I don't know, $8,000. And we came in a little more substantially under our goal. We came in with the largest difference between the goal that we set and the outcome that we got. There was the biggest difference. We came in at what, about $40,000 or $50,000 under goal. Okay. There's a policy been proposed regarding restricted funds and how to handle them. That policy is long overdue. It's now been developed and put forward through a committee and should be coming to the full PNB. Based on the review of it, it looks pretty sound, and hopefully we will pass it soon. That committee is also addressing the auditor recommendations. For those of you who have looked at the management letter, and I think everyone on this board has, we received for the second consecutive year a long set of recommendations from the auditor regarding accounting deficiencies at three stations, WBAI, WPFW, and KPFA, with a long list. Most of those lists were duplicated suggestions over the past couple years out of the national audit process. In terms of some of the specific things about KPFA and the progress that's being made, and some of this impacts the board, one involved the lock box and the issue of both the security of funds in between the period of time when they come in and the period of time when they're in the bank. And also the timeliness of deposits, and there's a process underway to change the way that that's being done. We will be going through Great Plains training, all of the business managers, with the specific goal of addressing the issue of making sure that all general ledger transactions are marked by who did them, which is sort of a basic accounting rule. And one of the third issues was we need to perform at KPFA a quarterly inventory, specifically focused on our premiums. We're not doing that. Those numbers are not being placed in the general ledger, and they have to be. I do think, because we have limited subscription staff, that perhaps a couple of board members could get together and set up a big counting premiums extravaganza. Also, on a yearly basis, we have to assess the number of computers, furniture, and fixtures and equipment that we have. So when we depreciate, we're depreciating what we actually possess and not what we claim that we possessed 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Because writing off things that you no longer own is really not a good idea. Okay, and on the issue of interstation transfers, the $18,000 at WPFW owes to KPFA. The agreement was that would be repaid as soon as WPFW's transmitter went back up to full speed, which happened earlier this year. They had a 90% transmitter loss and therefore had unsuccessful fund drives because nobody could hear them. That has since been repaired with some help from Florida. Well, you know, 90% of their listeners couldn't hear them, so they couldn't raise much money. So that's been fixed. And the idea was that after they had their first successful met goal fund drive at full power, that the funds would be returned. That has now happened. I'm told that the return of the funds will be completed by the end of June. Okay. In terms of finances, as we know, at the end of the 6 months, as of March 30th, the foundation as a whole was $900,000 positive. Of that, KPFA was $79,000 positive. It looks like tentatively the foundation as a whole will be maintaining something similar to those numbers through the end of May. Of course, that has much to do with the fact that we had a fund drive, which always makes the numbers look better. But so far, we look on target to maintain those numbers. And it's worth noting that for the foundation as a whole, that's a $2 million improvement over the position last year, or 12 months ago at the same time. Okay. Two other things quickly. I just want to correct on the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. There were 5 panel presenters associated with the Pacifica Foundation as a whole, two specifically from KPFK. Your program director, Carrie Corr, participated in a volunteer management panel. Bonnie Simmons was on a music programs panel. And Dwayne Bradley from Houston participated. You gave an opening welcome. Arlene Engelhardt participated in a workshop. We were not an official sponsor, because the way NFC works is, to be an official sponsor, you have to buy 300 people breakfast or lunch. And we didn't have the material assets to buy the 300 people lunch as KQED and KALW did. That's kind of the deal. The final thing was central services.
Yeah.
Someone asked about this, so I'm, right. You know, that's why I'm doing it. So it's 17% of income, not including special events, crafts fair, and a couple of other items. I think car donations are also excluded because the margin on them is not substantial. It does include and restricted income, foundation income. It does include unrestricted major donations, website income, and fund drive pledges. Basically all the categories of listener support. And then there's another 2.5% that comes out that is specifically goes to the Pacifica Archives, which of course...
I'm sorry,
2.5% additional goes specifically to the Pacifica Archives, which are maintained in Los Angeles. So it's 19.5% overall, 17% of that for the National Office, and 2.5% for the Archives. And with the Archives, because we get so many premiums from them, there really is a tremendous, you know, financial value, because we get premiums from them far more cheaply than we do when we have to buy them on the market.
So.
Wait, let her finish. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're
going to
explain about the
$30,000
now.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. So it was agreed originally that there would be a specific fundraising day dedicated to raising money to pay off the National Office debt. The National Office debt largely consists of several hundred thousand dollars to Democracy Now!, which costs the network $52,000 a month. KPFA's and $600,000 per year. KPFA's share of that is one of the big stations is approximately $175,000 a year. In other words, that chunk of our central services is just a straight pass-through to Amy. Because we have been financially challenged, because KPFA fell behind on central services last year, because WBAI has been troubled in terms of paying them at all, and because WPFW's transmitter was down for the majority of last year, not all of those funds came in, and therefore not all of the money was paid to Democracy Now! Amy's been pretty patient, but, you know, six-figure debts are six-figure debts. So the idea was to try to make a dent in that amount. The national fundraising days were canceled, and they were canceled because there was a lot of feedback from station managers that were already spending a lot of days fundraising every year, and adding some is not going to help. So what was decided instead as a compromise is that one day's worth of the last fund drive averaged would be assessed from each station, and that would be credit cards only, so stations aren't paying money hypothetical pledges that they haven't received and might not receive. So it's one day's worth of fundraising averaged over the length of the fund drive, so the low and high days are taken into account, credit card pledges only. And I guess that number for KPFA turned out to be about $30,000. One thing to also note in terms of the National Office debt, because I think it's important, and this will be the last thing that I'll say. The audit for the fiscal year, not 2010, but 2009, which was done by, what the heck is their name? Those folks on Montgomery Street that we couldn't afford the second year. I can pull the name. Tony Pohl and company. Terrific auditor, did a wonderful job, charged us an arm and a leg, and, you know, one of the primary reasons for that is they were 96% of the way through the audit. They had most of the reports done, and then the matter of the $375,000 that wasn't in the KPFA money market account came up, and they had to investigate. And once they found out what happened, it was basically a question of redoing not only KPFA's entire financial statement, but really the whole network, because it's applicable. And that, according to the auditor, you know, cost somewhere in the vicinity of almost $20,000 that we didn't have to spend, because I had to redo everything after it was pretty much completed. So that's, you know, also contributing to sort of unanticipated expenses that the National Office accrued that it's having trouble paying back. It is likely that all five stations combined will end up, in terms of what the overall take here, it looks like all five stations combined, it'll be about $85,000, maybe $90,000, which does not retire the debt, but it should allow us to pay about 25% of what we back owe to Democracy Now!, which they would appreciate as a gesture, and maybe retire about $10,000 or $15,000 on the remaining money due to the auditor. So it's a gesture. It'll help. It's not in any way the full extent of the mutual debt. That said, Pacifica felt that was about all that could reasonably be asked, because the stations have expenses too. So that's going to probably be pretty much it for now, and we will keep slogging along, you know, trying to catch up on these things as best we can. If we are able to hold the $900,000 surplus through the end of the year, network-wide, then that would probably give us a couple $100,000 more to point at that debt, and that would be a substantial help. We'll just have to see if sort of through the last quarter of the year, which traditionally gets a bit pinched, whether we're able to sustain it or whether it will kind of trickle away. And no one is quite sure of that yet. And that's it.
Okay. I'm going to ask the other members of the PMB if they want to comment. But before I do that, I want to ask Tracy a question about the $30,000. I think what I understood you to say was that the $30,000 is to help pay Pacifica's debt to Democracy Now. Does that and does Free Speech Radio News get some money out of? Wait a minute, I'm not done yet.
Okay, sorry.
And what you said was a decision was made. I want to know what the decision was, where it was made, and when it was made. And I want to know what happened to the CPB funds, because I thought the CPB funds were to be used to pay Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now. So what's going on?
No, that's fine. I'm just writing them down so I can.
Yeah,
I can do them.
Okay. I can repeat them if you need.
No, it's okay. I think I got it. If I don't, you'll fix me. Okay. So the $30,000 is not being used to pay Free Speech Radio News, and we'll talk about that a bit. It is going primarily to retire the six figures that are owed to Democracy Now, or maybe more to the point, to make a good faith payment towards retiring that debt, which is all that it will be able to do. It is not Pacifica's debt to Democracy Now. It is all five stations' debt to Democracy Now. All five stations pay for DN. All five stations air DN. All five stations keep the donations that DN brings in. And there's a price. DN is not a free program. When was the decision made? I'm going to have to approximate a bit because I don't have all the PNB minutes in front of me right now. The decision for a dedicated day of national fundraising was made approximately last fall, I would say November or December. It was originally scheduled loosely in February. It was moved up to the following fund drive series. And as I said, there was some pretty serious pushback from GMs throughout the network. They really didn't think that was going to help. The executive director notified the PNB of the postponement from the February fund drive cycle to the May fund drive cycle. And then shortly during the May fund drive, when I guess all of these negotiations were going on, she notified us that the national office wished to make this alternate deal with the stations, that was what the GMs wanted. She recommended that we proceed that way. And in fact, she didn't really ask. She said, this is how we are going to proceed. And the board, you know, deferred to her judgment and that of the station GMs that was the better way to proceed on this. In terms of CPB funds and Free Speech Radio News and DN, the contract that was signed with Free Speech Radio News was signed by Greg Guma, who was then the current contract, who was then the ED of Pacifica, approved by the board in, 2007 or something like that? Six sounds right. Six or seven. That contract basically allocated to Free Speech Radio News all of what they call our CPEG CPP grant, which is all of the national programming funds that come in from CPP, plus a bit more on top of that. And it was, of course, an act of generosity to Free Speech Radio News because we appreciate their content and they wanted them to succeed, which meant that in addition to channeling the whole CPEG grant, Pacific was also required to come up with some money on top of. They fell behind substantially in 2008, 2009. At this point, there is still a chunk of that sort of discretionary central services money that has not been paid to Free Speech Radio News. And the reason for that is it's on top of CPB funds. And again, you know, at least three stations fell substantially behind in central services last year. So that discretionary money that we were supposed to pay to Free Speech Radio News, we didn't have it. This year, so the contract was renegotiated. It is now the full extent of the CPAG programming funds, national programming funds, and no more. That discretionary element has been eliminated, which is too bad for Free Speech Radio News, but There was nothing that we could do. We didn't have the income wasn't there. Pacifica is current for this fiscal year in terms of everything being paid to Free Speech Radio News that they are owed. There is still a chunk of that discretionary overhead from the old contract last year that has not yet been paid back. They are trying to make payments, but again, this is out of general central services money. It is not, you know, CPB allocated funds. And hopefully that will be paid back soon. It's not a huge amount, but it needs to be paid in sort of increments. However, my understanding is that this particular national fundraising day is almost entirely for Democracy Now. Last time I looked, it was, you know, in the $300,000 category. So if we can make a chunk payback of $75,000 in addition to trying to stay current, that would help a lot in terms of mutual goodwill and at least showing that we're making an effort. Amy's concern, as has been expressed to the ED, is not that it all get paid back like that, but that, you know, she sees a good faith effort to try to solve the problem. And certainly the national fundraiser was, you know, generated largely by pressure in that direction. You know, I need to see you trying to make progress on this payment.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to point out that we have a little over half an hour left in this meeting. I would like to invite the other members of the Pacifica National Board to comment. Andrea, I'll do them in alphabetical order. Andrea, Dan, and then Laura.
Okay. Great. Let me see. To add on a little bit here, we want to welcome Laura and Dan to the National Board. They are seated now. And we're working on making sure that all of the LSBs have committees, that they're assigned to committees, and please, I think you're assigned and you're assigned already, or you're working on it, you're going to be. But all of the other, I think we do have some vacancies elsewhere too, so. And the push right now coming from the chairperson, Summer, is that we all need to participate and be active on our committees. So hopefully we can get you assigned to, okay, do something, okay. The other part, let's see, our secretary of the foundation has resigned. That's Carolyn Bearden, and we're having an election. And there are two candidates up. And we are to vote. The deadline is coming up soon. Tuesday is. Yeah, on Tuesday. So we will be electing a new secretary for the foundation on that one. Our next meeting will be in September.
In person.
Our next in-person meeting. We've been meeting by phone, so we will have an in-person meeting. Some of us would prefer that we would not meet, you know, because of the funding, the dire straits that the foundation is in right now. We could save monies, I feel, if we continue to meet by phone, but there's some discrepancy about, you know, whether it's a bylaws, whether we're in compliance or not. So we're to meet, and it's going to be in, D.C. or Houston? Okay, D.C. Yeah. So that's where we'll meet on that one. I think our CFO is asking us to raise monies now. Correct me because I was going in and out on the line. What was it, 30,000 or 60,000 for each station, local station, to raise funds? Were you in on that call? I don't know, but. Because I went off on my call. Do you know what that sick and
about the Kim Klein from Oklahoma at LeBarn?
Okay, hold on.
Okay, so that I need clarification on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Because if we're to do it, when are we supposed to do it, and what's the ramifications of it.
Dan.
Okay, well.
Grab a microphone.
Oh, yes, sorry. Briefly, Laura and I were seated at the last PNB meeting thanks to resolution, or at least partial resolution, of our lawsuit when ordered by the judge, Judge Roche, to appear in court to be arraigned on contempt charges. PNB Chair Sumner Reese and Secretary Carolyn Burden determined that they didn't really want to go through that process, and as a result, Pacifica settled at least that part of the case and allowed Laura and me to be seated, and also agreed that Richard Phelps would just resign from the LSB, and as you all know, he has resigned, and agreed to pay, and I forget whether it's $3,000 or $4,000 in attorney's fees for the case. So that piece is done. I'm going to sit on the audit committee, and I have to tell you that the PNB hasn't improved very much since I was general counsel. We spent almost the entire meeting last week arguing about this in-person meeting. I think we spent 2.5 hours on it, whether it would be in August, whether it would be in September, whether the board would agree to only have one in-person meeting, which I think will ultimately be the resolution this year, or whether, as at least some folks still insist, there be two additional in-person meetings by the end of the year. So.
Thanks, Dan. Laura?
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask more questions of Tracy about the $30,000. I'm still not understanding. This $30,000 is above our KPFA's normal central services fee to Pacifica. Is that true?
Yes.
And so that's what the PNB decided, is that we needed to pay an extra $30,000 above what we normally pay to them. KPFA.
That is correct. I think I already said this. But
I know. I'm just trying to make sure that I understand it.
Because there's debts that all.
And that's so. Because. And so, does Pacifica pay DN or does KPFA pay DN?
Pacifica pays DN. DN is aired by all five stations. All five stations keep as their revenue all of the income that is pledged during the broadcast of DN. A certain percentage of that is paid back to Pacifica in order to pay the programming fee for DN. According to a contract that was signed, that's $52,000 per month, $600,000 something per year, divided among all five stations. Those bills are paid via Pacifica. DN does not bill each station independently $10,000 per month or $120,000 per year. Perhaps when the contract is renegotiated, that might change. I don't know, and perhaps it would be done as a direct bill back to each station, but it's not right now.
But then Pacifica incurred the debt to Democracy Now and not KPFA.
KPFA is not an independent 501c3. KPFA does not incur any independent debts. It's the not-for-profit foundation, the 501c3, that is financially responsible for the payment of all bills.
So the justification for the extra $30,000 rather than just taking this out of our regular central services?
Well, the justification is that the foundation owes Democracy Now! Over $300,000. All five stations have been drawing revenue from the program, and they have not been paying the full central services. KPFA owes over $100,000 in central services at this particular moment. If the programming fee for DN is paid from the payment of central services, then when central services are not paid, that programming fee remains unpaid. We need to catch up. Democracy Now! Has been extraordinarily patient. The debt has been as high as almost 1 year of programming fees, $600,000. It's substantially lower right now, but it is still, as I said, in the six figures and the multiple six figures. And if we wish to continue programming Democracy Now!, we do need to show good faith efforts to pay what is due.
So KPFA still has a back debt to Pacifica for central services.
As Barbara stated in her report, they are current for the end of last year's fiscal year. That backlog has been paid, but some of the central services due this year have still not been transferred over. So, but, of course,
but why is this $30,000 not a part of that? That's where I'm a little mm-hmm. hung up. Just because of the PNB decided to vote for it to be extra funds? So because our 17% is more than it this year than it will be in the past.
Because the provision of the accepted of the 17% has not been adequate to pay the entire duration of the bills. The reason for that is that funds were delayed by three stations. KPFA was one of them last year, which required the national office to use up funds that could have been paid to Democracy Now to cover other expenses for the station. Therefore, the full funds anticipated to be received have not been received. The idea was to add an extra day of fundraising to try to come closer to a state of equilibrium. Again, all five stations are contributing equally, one day averaged from their fund drive, and yes, it is on top of the 17%. The 17% has not been adequate to pay what we were required to pay. I can't.
It seems like a budgeting problem then. If they need more money from us, they...
If the funds had been paid in full on time, and if station expenses had not had to be covered by the Pacifica Foundation nationally, then the numbers should have added up according to the budget. However, if you are expecting, say, well, let's see, central services.
So it increased because of
Laura, let me finish the point. If you are expecting to receive, say, $90,000 in central services from all five stations in a month, and you actually receive $60,000 or $50,000, and you do not have the revenue that you need, you put certain bills on hold, and debt piles up. That is mutual debt, and it needs to be mutually retired.
So you're saying it's like interest payments?
No, I'm not.
No. Okay, I don't really understand that. That they had to borrow money to make up for the funds
they
that they lost?
They had to reallocate money to cover expenses, and then when those expenses came due down the line, there was not extra money.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to move on now.
Oh, there's just one other clarification. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dan. Grab your mic.
Andrea mentioned LaVarne's proposal. That was just a proposal. That was not adopted by the board. This. It's a real proposal, but it's not. Well, it hasn't been decided.
It's an email proposing that a Kim Klein sort of, you know, model for how boards can raise a substantial sum of money in a quick period of time be implemented on the PNB. What it basically is a model for having board members actively call major donors and solicit donations. It is the idea of the CFO that this would be a good thing for the PNB to do and that she would coordinate it. It's a suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you.
We need to move on. Okay. There is no fundraising committee report. I was struck down by an evil bug in the middle of the month, which really made me sick for 2 weeks. I've never been sicker in my life. Okay, personnel committee. Where's Con? Con's going to report for the personnel committee.
Well, slow and a little frustrated. People are aware of the fact that there was an email exchange around the question of the role of Pacifica here. What's happened is, in a very short breakdown was, several years ago when we did a GM search, it was all done within the confines of KPFA. And the last time a GM search was run, Pacifica played a much bigger role. In fact, they played a key role there, but they had an HR director. They don't have an HR director now. So what this means is that everything is slowed down, And the bureaucracy on the other side is not, doesn't have the time to deal with things. So I'll give you an example. Several weeks ago, Maria and I sat down and updated the GM description, job description. But that would have to sit because it had to be approved by Pacifica. Well, Pacifica never got around to doing it. And they still haven't got around to doing it. So I've been emailing. And then an email came through that said, well, you're going to have to advertise. Pacifica will handle advertising in, like, the Chronicles. I said, okay. But you need a job description to do this. And how is this going to get done? Exactly what is Pacifica going to do? We want to know when you make an advertisement, then can we, the rest of the committee, follow through and make and advertise in outlets that we've advertised in before? I don't know. I don't get a phone call back. I don't get an email back. I assume it's because Pacifica is very busy. But that's the problem. The problem is when you take something and you kind of move it up into a bureaucracy, but you don't have the framework, you don't have the person power to make it work, it slows everything down. So it's very frustrating at this point. What I assume is going to happen is, I assume in the next few days we will settle up the question of what the correct job description is, and it will get advertised, and I'll get an answer back from the Pacifica ED on the question of other advertising, I hope. But it goes slowly and it goes frustratingly, and that is the situation. And people in Pacifica have not been fully briefed on exactly what's going on. They know that there's this system where all the applications come into Pacifica, and then they're turned over to Anthony and Sharam, and Anthony and Sharam are supposed to put them into a locked area of the station. They know that, but that's after the process started. It's getting the process going. And I don't know. It's kind of out of our hands at this point. And until we get the green lights, there's not a whole lot we can do. It's frustrating.
Aren't you going to report on the other side?
Oh, I'm sorry. You all got 4 pages of a handout, and there are not people here, and I've taken down their names, and I will send them an email and then put it in surface mail for them. These are the forms that we used the last time around to evaluate the station manager. So there are, in fact, 2 kinds of tracks that we have going here. One is that we want to get the search going for a permanent general manager. But the other is it's the responsibility of the LSB to evaluate current management. And so what I've done is that I've started this process by handing out this form. Now, I'm not making a specific proposal about what we do with this form right at this moment, because I think we need a little discussion on that. But I want everyone to have the 4 forms and to see what it is that we have done before in the past. And that's why they're out there. And as I said, I will take responsibility for getting the people who are not here. There are 6 people who are not here. And I'll make sure that they get copies of them and know what to do with them. But at this point, you've just got the forms. We've not made any decisions, or we're asking people to fill them out at this point. Okay.
Okay. Any questions, discussion on the personnel committee report?
Madam Chair. What? I'm sorry. Maybe we should have stopped at 2:00. I don't know. My brain is just not here, and I'm leaving next Tuesday, and I'm just not firing. I got too much stuff to do. We do have 1 task to do here today. we had a member of the personnel committee who has since resigned from the LSB. So we have to nominate a new person to the personnel committee. So I think at this point we have to take a moment and have a short election. And I, for one, am nominating, because the person that we removed was a person from the staff, I nominate Laura Privins for that position.
Who resigned? Renee Giesler resigned. Khan is proposing that that Laura be added to the committee. Is there any discussion? We didn't want to nominate someone? No? It's all right. Could you remind us who's currently on the committee?
Who's on the committee is myself, Anthony.
Sharam.
Andrea, Dan,
and Tanya.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll work that out.
All right. So, Khan has proposed that Laura be added to the committee. Are there any objections to that proposal? Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Laura has been added to the committee. The next committee report is outreach.
Outreach.
All right, yeah, we just met on Wednesday. And some good things, even as we sit here, there's a task force of folks who are over at the Laney College. There's a labor event happening. So they brought their tabling supplies, and they're trying to alert people to the existence of KPFA there. There was some really nice stuff that was happening. One of our priorities had been to have a presence at the Juneteenth festival in Berkeley. I wish we were there today, but one of the things that is working, that kind of worked a little bit, was that by working with Joy Moore, we were able to alert the apprenticeship program and say what we need some announcements, some reportage about Juneteenth and to drum it up a bit, because there's a lot of controversy around the Berkeley Juneteenth celebration, which was jammed up by the Berkeley police, et cetera, and postponed until next Sunday. Until the 26th. And so there's a lot of nasty, I think, politics behind that. So what's been really great is that they're doing the program tomorrow. Special programming is going to be happening about Juneteenth tomorrow. Sabrina Jacobs and some others. So that's cool. So we're actually fulfilling what we're being given a free table at the Juneteenth thing in Berkeley. And part of that deal was like, well, we'll promote the event and kind of help out. And so we're lifting up a community institution. And that's like, wow, KPFA kind of working there. That's nice. Sadly, we're not as connected to the San Francisco event, but whatever. So it's nice to see that happening. So we're inviting anybody who wants to go to Juneteenth next Sunday. We're going to have tabling and talking to folks. And our experience of Juneteenth last year was that a lot of people had not heard of KPFA before. Perrine Kelly's going to help us out with special flyers, kind of highlighting some of our programs that we think folks might be interested in. But I think the most exciting thing that's happening is our Petaluma connection. Woo-hoo. Sam came to our meeting. He's come to a couple, and if you remember the movie that we showed at the station, Sam connected with us through that. And so he's just got a ton of ideas, and folks in these parts seem to have a lot of creative energy and a lot of great ideas. So we're really looking forward to fostering whatever we can and whatever. The nice part is that we're developing some literature and some materials that we can send out to these guys. They can modify them to fit their kind of local needs and whatever. And there was an offer that apparently they have their... Sam, why don't you come on and report on your thing? They want to do a town hall meeting. It's one of our stated purposes is to foster town hall meetings. So the proposal is to have it here or hereabouts. So Sam's going to tell you more.
Yeah, excuse me. It's a very preliminary stage. Some of my associates in the North Bay Outreach Committee, they've planned a town hall before several years ago for KPFA, and you know, using their knowledge, and I'm going to help them, and we really want to grab up that opportunity and, you know, use it to create more awareness about KPFA and the community issues, you know, at large. And we feel like that also helps the station fulfill its requirements. And, yeah.
So I'm counting on these guys. I don't know if it's going to be like a town hall slash barbecue with tie-dye or something, but I know it's going to be, he says, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so it's going to be something good. And the other ideas were, they're talking about, as Berkeleyans, we're talking about trying to get out to our farmers markets and take advantage of the good weather and stuff. So we cordially invite anybody on the LSB who wants to participate in that to please give, you know, email me or let me know about that. We need your help. We need your friends' help. The other thing that we're talking about is, so anyway, that's on the agenda. That's a, Madam Chair, Mr. Secretary. If you can make sure that that's on the agenda for next month so that we can actually talk about authorizing these guys to do that. And then...
Can we have a general point on town hall meetings?
Sure. And then the other thing is that our outreach committee is trying to do is to connect with the UC School of Journalism and Laney, and we have some ideas for trying to deepen that, but one of our priorities is to try to increase our on-campus, our UC campus presence. There's a lot of students that don't know about us, and we might try to go about doing that through the UC Journalism School and maybe get, you know, there's also the Democratic Education classes and things on campus. So, excuse me. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Can I just bring us general events in the community, and one that a friend and I are going to do is the Temescal Fair on July 10th.
Right.
Adding that.
Right. Okay. And I'm very glad to hear that the KPFA will be at the Juneteenth. That's something that happens in my neighborhood, and that's great, even though it's on the 26th. Okay. All right. So now we're up to staff reports, CWA.
So I'm reporting as a member of CWA at KPFA. I don't really have that much new to report from last time. We're still waiting for the outcome of the arbitration with Amy Allison and Pacifica. And still working on putting out questions to unpaid staff as to their concerns and how to support them as non-union workers at KPFA with union workers.
Okay, someone from unpaid staff. Oh, you want to ask a question?
No. I have a question, yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Laura, you mentioned this thing about CWA being willing to, I don't want to say what you said, I don't remember exactly, something about, it was an overture to the unpaid staff, somehow support them or something to that effect. So do you know where, you know, how we get from here to there? I mean, is there any specific suggestion or proposal on the table?
Yeah, I didn't want to get too specific because it hasn't been finished yet, but they're working on a survey, something that they could put out to unpaid workers to find out what their concerns are and try to work from there.
So
it's not done yet.
So are they thinking of representing the unpaid staff? Are they looking for membership, or what is it?
Well, based on what kind of feedback they get from that, there is some kind of possibly something that they could do. So they want to look into some kind of like auxiliary organization.
Okay. Someone going to report for the unpaid staff? Anthony. Pass that man a microphone.
Okay, we had an unpaid staff organization general meeting on June the 1st. Not great attendance, but okay. A lot of the program director, Carrie Corr, attended, and I guess the bulk of the meeting was a conversation, you know, with Carrie over the state of the station, fund drives, programming plans, and things like that, and hopefully getting the program council up and running. Also, about a week later this month, we had a small meeting regarding, Frank's court case. As people may know, he was subjected to a assault and a home invasion, I guess you could call it, by a couple of boys in blue. So we've been discussing how to support him in the court date, which is coming up quite soon.
My question is just sort of a continuation from last meeting when I think when Antonio was here, the question about the KPFA worker site was asked about who, has it been identified within the staff who is accountable for that site or how, who's running that site or is it possible to, how do we make sure that it's a legitimate site and how do we make sure that it's not just... I guess I have some questions about it. So I think Antonio said last time that he was going to let us know who we could talk to who would be willing to be accountable for the content of that site. I think that was 2 months ago, actually. So I'm curious about that. So that question was for Laura.
Why is the LSB... examining a public website who's behind it? I mean,
because we're advertising it on our station.
What does it make any difference? It's still a private website. I mean, people can do whatever they
want. Well, exactly. If it's a private website,
You may be curious, but I don't think that the LSB.
What are our policies about the advertising of that kind of a site?
You guys can't both talk at the same time. Nobody can understand you or hear you. All right. Does anybody else want to comment on this? Okay. Frank.
I'd just like to let it know that I, too, am concerned about the Save KPFA and the KPFA worker website, being a KPFA worker myself. I stated in the meeting, and I think it was April, the first meeting I attended, that I didn't feel like it totally represented me, yet I am a KPFA worker. Who controls that? How do people that might just read that? It has been put out on the air plenty of times. The people that are for that have used their airtime to put out Save KPFA and KPFA worker site. And I also understand that there is a lot of alternative readings and writings about the situations at KPFA. And that doesn't get the airplay that is apparently that some people that are a little more proficient in getting their website out during their airtime. We've had opportunities to put out websites. I have personally chosen not to, but I would like to know too who is running those websites. Does it really represent KPFA workers? I am one, and I don't really feel that it exactly does. I don't read that one that much. I do read the Save KPFA weekly or monthly, whatever the when they mail it out, I get that. So yes, I would too am concerned who's writing this. It's anonymous. There's plenty of other people writing that signed their work. Is there a way to combine these to at least have maybe some posts? I noticed also at the last meeting, I believe, the Save KPFA website, I don't know if it's a strategic move, beginning to believe things like that now. I don't know, just being on the local station board for such a short time, but Eileen Alfandari came in and made a real poignant statement, and then next thing you know, it's on the Save KPFA website, and there's a lot of other things said in regard to that that doesn't get an audio clip on the Save KPFA website. There is the whole meeting there, but so I'm still concerned about that as well.
Okay. We talked about this last time. I sort of don't think this is like an appropriate business for the board. I don't know what the board can do about it. People have the right to set up websites and do whatever they want with them. If you think that someone has puts information out on the air that's inappropriate, then you take that up through station management. That's the responsibility of station management. If someone says something inappropriate on the air, they deal with it. That's how it works. That's what management is for. I don't think we're clearly not the station management, and I don't think there's any reason for us to discuss it here today. I would point out that it's 3 o'clock. I will let you two each speak if you promise to speak for 1 minute, and then 1 minute or less, and then we're going to adjourn this meeting because that was the vote this morning. Okay, you want to speak for 1 minute, Tracy? You can speak for one.
Sure, I'll speak for a minute. This came up in the context of the unpaid staff report, and it came up in the context of several, not just Frank. Frank said it today. Other people have said it frequently in public comment, that they, in fact, are, while they may not be members of KPFA Worker, they are, in fact, people who work at KPFA. So if English means what it means, KPFA Worker represents workers at KPFA. And they feel that the site is not accountable to them and is misrepresenting their point of view. That is an issue that is being brought to the board as an issue of concern. And a question is being asked to identify the accountable entities so that those who are KPFA workers can address them with the people involved in a site that calls itself kpfaworker.org. What we can do as the board and what we should do is make sure that the information that they are requesting, who is accountable for the content
Your time is
on
up.
That site, reasonable inquiry, be answered and answered promptly. That's our job.
Andrea, 1 minute.
Yeah, I think it's totally, I take issue with the content of that site, and I would like the opportunity, I think the journalistic ethics require that somebody be accountable. If Khan says it's a private site, then what's it? Why are we advertising it? Let them go off into private land and have a fine time. But why am I hearing about it on KPFA airwaves, and yet nobody? How do? It could be the CIA. I don't know who it is.
Okay.
And if there's totally, so what? I want to see the policies, and I do think this board is ultimately accountable for that.
Okay. Enough. Time is up. The meeting, please, Pam. Okay, please. Time is up. The meeting is over. Thank you.
Can I just point out that Henry Norris on a peace mission to the Gaza Strip has not been acknowledged at this meeting? I think the only speaker I'd like to acknowledge his participation. Can I point out that Henry Knorr has not yet been acknowledged at this meeting, that he's going to Gaza on a peace mission, and it would be nice just to acknowledge that.